And, you know, I think the thing that we're really trying to solve is, you know, how can we humanize communication? How can we build trust? How can we remove a lot of the friction that happens in business communication? And how can we do it in such a way where it's frictionless, it's seamless, people can click a couple of buttons and feel confident and put their messages out there.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. My name is Rick Nusky. I'm on the line with Ruben Duer, who is the founder of a video communication platform called Dub. Now, I invested in Dub a little while ago, and today we're going to be talking with Ruben at length about his journey, his entrepreneurial journey, and somewhat about the platform itself. So welcome to the show, Ruben.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Yeah, no, look, it's absolutely my pleasure. It's been a bit of a to and fro, getting a little bit of time with you. And, you know, it's an absolute pleasure. And I'm honored to have you on the show. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, I know that I'm looking through your profiles on LinkedIn and things like that. I like to do my research, and I found some things quite startling about your background. And, would love to venture into some of those things. Now, I understand that you have a master's in media studies, MBA in business. So I wonder, Ruben, is this, I guess, the formative part of where the idea for Dub came about? And, you know, if we could explore that. But before we go into, I guess, the nuts and bolts of the journey, I would love to learn a little bit about the man himself. Could you share a little bit about yourself with the My Future Business audience?
Yeah, I mean, well, thank you. I mean, thank you for those questions. I really appreciate that. And I think my journey really started, my professional journey really started when I was about 18 years old. And, you know, I was enrolled at USC, University of Southern California. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was kind of in the internet game. I was learning about it. I was learning to code, and I was, you know, I had a little tiny tech that I was starting to build up. And I was just kind of enamored with the whole thing. And I was part of an organization, actually, and sort of a social organization at the school. And you know, I said, hey, why don't you guys have a website? And they said, a website? Well, what's a website? You know, this was back in 1994.
Back in the day.
And I said, you know, well, a website's a web page on the internet, and you can put some information, and you can put graphics and images, whatever you want, text, copy, links, doesn't matter. So they said, well, why don't you build it for us? And I said, let's do it. So that was kind of my first foray into any type of web property. And that was a tiny little website. It was built on the EDU website at the time. And I think USC was a little bit forward when it came to technology and providing us access to Telnet back then, which was pre kind of GUI graphic user interface email. And it was all done based on Telnet, which was just like a code, basically. So anyways, long story short, that kind of catalyzed me into getting into really just completely passionate about technology and web development and technology really specific when it comes to communication, right? And and that was, I think, the first kickoff to a startup at that time. And that was, I think, a year or two later, which was an early evolution of a social network. And it was kind of a business profile based website where people could build up a profile. It's sort of a very Frankensteinian LinkedIn or Facebook or something. It lacked a lot of really necessary and core functionality, but at its core, it was a profile based social network. Yep. And that was called Talent Reach. And that was a really interesting pre kind of .com bust experience that I had, where I had a chance to be an entrepreneur, you know, understand how to build technology, you know, understand how to find product market fit, of course, which we never found. And we were a casualty of the .com bust. But I think that was a really important part of my career, because I learned what it was like to build something, to invest into something, and then ultimately to fail, and how to do that with a little bit of grace, and at least take the learning from that. So
Yeah.
And then the story continues. I mean, I go on from there. My career really got into more tech, more media, building technology, working with clients. And I think as of more recently, within the last couple of years, I found myself working with large sales organizations and sales teams and really learning that there was a massive pain point when it came to communicating, sharing ideas, being visual, decreasing sales cycles, getting a point across.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where the formation of Dub occurred in terms of being a video and visual communication platform that allowed people to just really record videos, share videos, and then track videos. And the rest is history. And we've been working at it for, 2 years plus now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just evolved the tech. We've, have 15,000 plus users. We have some amazing paid subscribers all around the world. We're constantly learning, constantly capturing data, constantly iterating the product. We're on 1 to 2 week cycles, tech cycles. So there's a very fast evolution cycle that happens for us. And really, it's just about empowering other folks to realize their dreams, to communicate, really.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing your insight, Ruben. It means a lot to the My Future Business audience. There are obviously startup entrepreneurs and existing small to medium business size owners, and they love this sort of technology. Now, you touched on something just a little earlier about, the failure that you experienced as part of your learning journey. I'd love to sort of maybe deep dive a little bit more into that in terms of the psychological impact that might have on someone as they go through this, because it can almost feel like you're going to die. It's that sort of acute. How did you process that, and what would you say to people that are worried about that element?
Well, I always think about the number of strikeouts that Babe Ruth has had in his career, and then of course the number of shots missed by Michael Jordan. And those numbers, if you research those, they're pretty staggering. They're much higher than one might think. And I think the reason why that takes place, of course, it might be obvious, but it's that there's risk that's taken. And when you take risk, you fail and you mess up. And the point and the most important thing is to learn from that failure. And if you don't learn from that failure, then it's sort of a failure that's sort of a waste of time.
Yeah.
So, I've failed fabulously in my life, and I have, and I think my most important thing, I definitely am a high risk type of individual, that exposes, me personally, professionally to certain things, but I've kind of learned how to take smarter, better calculations, learn from previous experiences, and then figure out ways to kind of invest into the future, stay optimistic, but at the same time, stay cautious. While still maintaining a little bit of foolishness, I think that's kind of important, because if you don't think that whether you think that you can do something or you don't think that you can do something, you're right. That's a famous quote. I think, was it Henry Ford that said that, or I forgot who said that.
Somebody prominent. Really, yep. Yeah, absolutely. I've heard that before.
Might have been Roosevelt or Ford, but it's an important one. And I think that the key, I think, to failing is failing gracefully and making sure that you can do everything that you possibly can to avoid that failure, and that if it is a failure, to avoid the sinking realization of what the post-failure life looks like, either personally or professionally. Because I think where folks really decide to give up and lose their grace and endure all sorts of really challenging emotional things is when they don't know how to recover from that failure. We have to be like the tattoo on the back of Ben Affleck's back, which is the tat on his back, I should say, which is a huge, big, fat phoenix. The bird, the rising bird that comes from the ashes. We need to figure out a way to reinvent ourselves. I'm sorry for the Ben Affleck reference, but
it's a relevant one.
It's an important visual. Google it. It's a pretty prominent tattoo. I just learned about it today, actually. We all have to be that phoenix, and we all have to reinvent ourselves, really. I think that's the most important thing here.
Yeah. I'm sitting here wondering about the physiological response to failure and the separation between psychological referencing and that, that moment you're clenching up and you start to feel sweaty and you think everything's going to fall over. It must have been a really tough journey. And I really wanted to sort of focus on this just a little more, because I can see how, you've come so far, but before you got to being where you are, you would have had to have educate yourself. You know, when you had an issue arise, you go, well, you know, this didn't work. What, I guess the question would be, what sort of value do you place in the ongoing education to help you evolve and move on from those types of experiences?
So I think the three things that I do to keep myself apprised on technology, to make sure that I understand the latest and the greatest what's happening. And I think as a leader, as a business person, I mean, that's a work in progress. You know, I want to do a better job at that, most definitely. But I think my things are, I'm a really, really big podcast listener. I mean, I'm down to a daily podcast listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I fill in the gaps with listening to podcasts. You know, I'm doing a lot of long driving right now because I'm in the process of moving town. So my kid is actually transferred to that school. So I'm in a daily, basically an hour, probably 3 hours a day in the car right now.
Wow.
Which is a little bit temporary, but I've kind of leveraged that to listen to podcasts as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite podcasts right now is actually a kid's podcast, because of course I'm with my 6-year-old son, which is called Brains On. So for the parents out there, I highly recommend Brains On. It's a great podcast.
Absolutely.
You will learn a lot. There's a reason why 6, 10, 15-year-old kids are a lot smarter than us adults,
because
have access to information.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've learned a lot in that process with my son. So, you know, I think that's the first thing. There's some great ones out there. You know, there's some really, really good ones. The Tim Ferriss show is great. The Joe Rogan show is great. Radiolab. There's a lot of really good business podcasts as well. So if you have a niche, if you have something specific, highly recommend that. You know, get into something that you really are passionate about that you can benefit from. It's okay to think about ROI when listening to podcasts, because you know, it's important to keep ourselves abreast. And I think that your podcast is also another one that people should add to their list. So
no, thank you.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think the next thing I think is trying out new stuff. You know, getting yourself into funnels, learning, signing up for trials, you know, shaking hands, talking to people, you know, being a student, being curious, being humble.
Mm-hmm.
I try to try out as much software as I possibly can. It's not just the software that I'm trying out. It's also the business process, the business model, understanding how their sales cycle works, understanding how their funnel works, how their outbound, how their inbound, what their content looks like, what their dashboard looks like, the problems that they're trying to solve. You know, what their overall kind of brand looks like. So I do a lot of that every day. Seems like I'm trying out, or at least looking under the hood of some technology or something out there, whether it's an app or whether it's some hardware or whether it's a SaaS platform. So I think that's another thing. And then I would say the last thing is just reading, good old fashioned reading. I mean, blog posts, you know, being on Reddit, being on Medium, you know, getting your news alerts through Google. I think that's a really important thing. And then just through social networks, through Twitter and through LinkedIn, there's a lot of great posts that happen. If you start to click on stuff, you know, the internet learns about you. I mean, I guess privacy is dead, right? But if you start to, you know, connect to certain hashtags on LinkedIn, you know, LinkedIn's going to target you. Don't be afraid to follow those, whether you're in sales or marketing or tech or biz dev or PR support, whatever it may be. But connect yourselves to those worlds and try to access information in real time. Because, you know, I was looking at some courses recently on Udemy, on Google advertising, Facebook advertising, React Native, a couple of other things that are very relevant for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that some of those courses were published in 2019. 2019 is almost over. It's irrelevant. You can't learn Google advertising and Facebook advertising from a resource that was published in 2019. It's changed. Everything's changed. Google Ads now has lead gen ads. You know, that's going to change the way that people are advertising on Google. Not a lot of people know that. You can have an extension on a Google ad where someone can fill out a form directly within the ad unit, mobile and desktop.
Wow.
That's game changing.
Yeah.
You know, no PPC course on Google Ads is going to teach you that right now. That just got announced.
That's cutting
completely
edge.
Completely in beta. It's cutting edge. I mean, I had to sign an NDA. Actually,
oh, really?
Not with respect to publicizing it, because it's Google and
it's,
you know, they want to make $1 billion doing that.
Yep.
But with respect to some of the specific inner workings that are happening on our conference calls with Google, and we're going through the process to become a partner, and we're an advertiser on Google.
Wow, that's fantastic news.
Yeah, it's huge for advertising. It's really going to be great. You know, we use a lot of lead gen ads on Facebook, and we're getting started on LinkedIn. So that's a whole nother convo.
Yeah.
But keep yourself apprised.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much for sharing, Ruben. Now, a couple of things I'd love to talk about. I love to talk about the balance between working and relaxing with family and friends. Now, how do you go about this? I know that you are super busy. You always seem to be almost omnipresent in this space, and it's a real credit to you. How do you go about that part of your life?
Well, I'm a work in progress, most definitely. I'm a student of this. There's a couple of things that I'm, you know, personally working on. Number one is to just really be proactive instead of reactive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're in a reactive state, it's hard to manage. It's hard to control things. You know, if you're getting messages on Slack or the emails or the text messages, and you find yourself continually putting out fires.
Yeah.
That's not a place you want to be in. That's not, in my humble opinion, you're never going to progress from that. You're always going to find yourself behind the curve instead of ahead of the curve. So one of the things that we try to do is we try to precog, we try to figure out what is it that's going to happen to us. You know, for example, this Saturday in the wee hours of the morning, we have a scheduled maintenance on Dub.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone should know about that. We've got a big fat message on our dashboard.
You can't miss it.
Yeah, you can't miss that. And the reason why we do stuff like that is because we're not going to be arrogant and say that we can do this database migration, which is going to be really great. It's going to optimize our whole site
mm-hmm.
and speed up things. You know, we could be foolish and arrogant and say, oh, well, let's just do that on the behind the scenes and not really worry that people that's going to happen. And then if something happens, it happens. And then we have to put out fires.
Yep.
No, let's just shut the site down and say, hey, guys, we'll put a cool little animated GIF there. And we'll say scheduled maintenance. It'll be a rainbow with a unicorn and something really fun. And people will be like, oh, that's awesome. They're upgrading their technology. That's so cool. I can't wait for that. And maybe it'll speed up or maybe it'll do X, Y, and Z. People will, you know, be glad about that. It's communication, right? So it's transparency. These are new glasses that I'm wearing. And I chose these because they're transparent.
I noticed there wasn't a great deal of reflection on them. You know, you've obviously experienced the same thing I do because I have reading glasses, and every time.
Well, actually, these are also blue light blocking glasses.
Oh, okay, so you go outside and they turn black. Yeah.
Well, no. What happens is it's the blue light from our monitors and our devices that's really damaging to the eyes.
Oh.
What you're referring to is light responsive lenses.
Oh, yes.
Which actually these are as well.
Okay.
So if I wear these out in the sun, they respond to the light and they darken a little bit. I think they're actually a little bit darker right now. But most importantly, I'll be the evangelist of this. I put a tweet out recently about this, but anyone that's staring at a screen for more than 2 hours, you are.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
You gotta wear blue light blocking glasses, which basically blocks a certain type of light that is emitted from screens, which is really known to be harmful to our eyes.
I don't have one screen. I have triple screen. And so
you have triple screen going on. So you need to wear three pairs of glasses.
Some for my ears.
Basically,
and some...
So in your situation, you would have one, two, and then three pairs of glasses like this.
Oh, goodness me. That is absolutely. This is the other thing I noticed about you, Ruben. Ever since the fortuitous event, which was AppSumo, you know, I fell in love with the platform. I fell in love with the people behind the business. I watch everything you do. The videos seem so fun, so raw and real. Is there some sort of a technique here? Is this important to be human when you're on video?
Our situation was that we had constraints. You know, our creativity is heavily managed by constraints, right? So our constraints are that we had limited schedule, limited time, limited money, limited real estate, limited office spaces, locations that we could be at. You know, we're in a virtual, semi-virtual situation. One of the things that was very important for me was that everyone in this company can work in our office or they can work in their personal spaces to some extent. And that's sort of based on, you know, the roles and responsibilities and the general kind of dynamic of that role. So, you know, how do you kind of fit within all of those constraints? That was kind of our first question, right?
Yeah.
The second thing I think was, how can we be completely authentic? You know, here we are in an early video platform that has this great big grand vision of changing the way that people communicate with video. You know, as quote unquote evangelists or, you know, folks that are just putting stuff out there that are trying to educate and to be compassionate, to be empathetic, to understand that people have all different types of use cases. They look different. They sound different. They work in different places. Some of them work in their mom's basements and some of them work in, you know, big corporate buildings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can we provide as much information in the most authentic way that we can possibly do so, and then get it done on a very high frequency, high cadence, you know, multiple times, 5 to 25 times a week.
Yeah.
I think that was the second thing. And I think the third thing is, how can we have fun doing so? If it wasn't fun for us, and if it felt robotic, if it felt overly salesy, if it felt inauthentic, if we felt like clowns, and I say that not like I have anything against clowns, because I love clowns, but
they scare me, but that's another story.
You know, how can we avoid being idiots and not having fun in the process, and you know, walking away feeling slimy and feeling weird and feeling like, ugh,
there's a
I don't want to do that, you know? And I think when we started to put all that together, you know, we realized that there was this really authentic opportunity to take vlogging and to take documenting, daily documenting of life with failures, with burning the quesadilla on accident in the grill machine that you have at the office, or dropping a bag with all your business cards and it just falling in the middle of a conference and everyone looking at you.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, having cameras fail or microphones fail, anything that's happening, that is content. That's real life.
Yep.
That's what's going on in our worlds. And to capture that,
and
to put it out there, and just to say, listen, we're just like you. We're a human being. We're fallible. We make mistakes. It's all good because we're having fun.
Yep.
And this is us. We're not hiding anything. You know, that authenticity was so important to us. You know, I met about a year ago, I met a super cool dude by the name of Shannon Leonard. And Shannon Leonard is a phenomenal filmmaker, you know, director, vlogger, early adopter in some phenomenal technologies like YouTube, Vine, Twitter, a bunch of others. And, you know, he and I had this, I actually put an ad out on Craigslist and I said, looking for, you know, video kind of filmmaker. I knew that we wanted to get into a flow of that. And I put it out on Craigslist and he responded to it. And I said, hey, why don't you send me a pitch video? Just send me a little sort of hidden YouTube link. I'd love to get to know you, like pitch me basically.
Yep.
So he sent me this really cool video that he was out in some random outdoor location, maybe on a film set. I'm not really sure. And he said, hey, this is my thing. I've been doing this and I've got this style and let's meet up. So we met up and I remember meeting him and I said, hey, let's shoot a commercial right now. I know we don't know each other, but there's a camera. We're in a cool office location. Let's shoot a video.
Let's
shoot
a
commercial. And let's just get into it. And we recorded something. And it was a lot of fun. And it said that I think it was called Dub Works Better Than Trust Falls. And we were in in our office space, we have access to a theater. And we did this funny little skit. And it turned out to be really cool. And I think the point, though, is that it was this constraint mixed with creativity, mixed with a need to communicate, get information out there. And that's what really kicked off the Daily Dub.
Yeah.
And that's our flow now. We have a YouTube channel. We're on all channels, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Medium, and of course our own Dub blog. And we put out content on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So the model of content, we call it the waterfall method, which is all of our content starts with long form content, recorded podcasts like this, long form recorded videos, 10, 20, 30 minute videos, very produced, but still very authentic, very kind of run and gun on the fly. And then that gets produced into a long form piece. And then that goes through the waterfall and then gets cut and chopped and becomes a blog post. It becomes 60 second social posts. It becomes tweets. It gets repurposed. And then of course the cycle starts all over again. And then as we build up our library, you know, we have evergreen content that we can tap into when we need to. So we always are, you know, plagiarizing ourselves and grabbing stuff from our YouTube channel. And it's really a daily process. So it's a great investment. It's a long-term investment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, folks are out there doing outbound sales, ringing the phone and sending the emails 100 a day. I think it's important. I think that's going to get you short-term success.
Yep.
But I think it's really important to have a parallel track where you're doing your outbound, you're doing your homework, you're building up your pipeline, you're getting that kind of conversions on a quick basis, but at the same time, building up evergreen content, building up your brand, and having a library of information that's on YouTube, LinkedIn, your blog, wherever you want, to ultimately build that brand up.
Now, I know that we could take this this call in many different directions. The river is wide and deep. I, as a skater myself, I want to know, did you ever get that kickflip worked out with Tony Hawk?
You know, I was in my car the other day, and I drove by some kids at the grocery store, and I don't know why I did this. I rolled down the window and I said, "Do a kickflip." And he did, actually. The kid did. He did it perfectly. One shot. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
I grew up skateboarding. I was a skateboarder in the San Fernando Valley, which is a really fun place to learn and start skateboarding. This was in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of great skateboarders came out of Venice and came out of the Valley and different types of kind of SoCal, you know. And we used to go to washes, and we built a half ramp in my friend Cameron's backyard. And, you know, there's something that I realized as a skateboarder.
Yeah,
is that I was never going to be able to pull the tricks off.
No matter how hard
I tried, it never happened. I mean, I got an ollie down, you know, maybe 10% of the time I could ollie onto a curb.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, I could go down the ramp and I could kind of do that thing. But for some reason, I could never take it to the next level. In
the inverts and 360 airs and 720s. Why not, Ruben? God.
You know, it really came down to fear, I think. It came down to fear, which is one of my favorite topics to discuss.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you have fear, you can't take the risk and you can't go and do things. Now, I mentioned earlier that I am a high risk, you know, type of individual, entrepreneurial, so on and so forth. But with some things, for some reason, I've not been able to overcome that. Now, that's okay. It's very cool. I mean, I have no issues with that. But I tried surfing as well.
Yep.
And surfing for me was, I really couldn't get into a shortboard situation. Longboard is where I felt comfortable.
Yep.
And it was a little bit more kind of easy and spiritual and kind of a hang instead of something that's aggressive and something that Kelly Slater would do.
Yep.
And I'm okay with that. And then I found snowboarding. And then that's really, you know, my third pivot where I was really able to find my confidence. And
haven't seen you do much of that. Maybe I've used it.
Well, two kids now, so I definitely do a lot less of that. But, you know, I got into snowboarding before snowboarding. I mean, this was when Burton, you know, had, I don't know if folks have seen the early snowboards out there. Mm-hmm. It seems like all I'm doing is aging myself here. But like my first snowboard, it basically looked like a tongue depressor with one point being really sharp.
Yes.
You know, they were very different. They were downhill boards and the bindings were really close together and they were totally angled. There was nothing parabolic about this. It was just a straight shot. So, you know, that was my first snowboard. It was an early Burton snowboard, and I just fell in love. And I didn't have fear, and I, you know, I was able to do a lot of stuff. And I really got into the cross-country tree rides, early adopter of helmets in snowboarding. And then that, you know, since then, I've just been really passionate about it. I must confess, I've not been able to do it as much as I want to.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I've decided to teach my kid how to ski instead of snowboard. So I don't know why I've done that, but
follow the path. The intuition serving you well for some reason. Now, I absolutely love the people behind the businesses, and you're really opening the door to what's important for my audience and your experience in life, which we're all on the same path, Ruben. So thank you very much. Now, I think it's time we talk a little bit about the approach for Dub and what Dub does. I'm a former quality manager, so I respond well to systems and processes and quality checks and things like this. But you've also just touched on, you know, how we can be, I guess, authentic in the way we do our videos. A little bit messy, a little bit raw, which is important. That's what I love about Dub and what you guys are doing. But how does that translate into this wonderful system called Dub? And I wonder if you could just share it with the audience. What is it about and how does it work?
Yeah, so I think the problem really that we're trying to solve is that in business communication, there's a lot of friction and there's massive trust issues, unfortunately. You know, we've seen just too much stuff on the internet that happens, and there's too much of an opportunity, unfortunately, for misuse of technology for evil. And you know, that's just a real thing that exists. But I think what has happened as a result of that is that when people get that email in their inbox, when they get the text message, they lack the trust. They don't know who that person is. There's not a personality or a brand or some sort of a positive halo effect to that. And as a result, they check out and they ignore it. And it's an overload of media, really. And I think it's okay. I mean, that's just a reality of where we're at. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a protection thing. And I do the same thing because, you know, my time is the only thing that I truly have at the end of the day. And, you know, I think the thing that we're really trying to solve is, you know, how can we humanize communication? How can we build trust? How can we remove a lot of the friction that happens in business communication? And how can we do it in such a way where it's frictionless, it's seamless, people can click a couple of buttons and feel confident and put their messages out there? So really what Dove is, it's a platform that allows you to create videos. So there's a mobile app, there's a Chrome extension, there's a desktop recorder, there's integrations into Gmail, LinkedIn, dozens of CRM systems. An ability to share that video content, so direct sending from Gmail, just the same way that you'd send a text message, you can send, video, webcam video, screen video, LinkedIn messages, SMS, CRMs, number of different ways to share the messages. And then lastly, a way to track this information. Are people watching my videos? What percentage of the video are they watching? Are they clicking on my calls to action that exist on the video pages? Are they leaving me positive emojis?
Nice. You know,
what's happening on the back end? And that whole kind of ecosystem is really what we've built. So, you know, we call ourselves an all-in-one sales and marketing video platform. And I think that there's a lot of different use cases, a lot. Mm. But our primary use case, I would say, is really sending personalized videos one-to-one with ease, without friction.
Yeah. In the back end of the platform, there are many moving parts, but what I like is the UI. And now I know things are a work in progress and everything always changes, but for my money and the way I use it, it's such an easy system to use. Now, I went all in at the time when I got involved, and I noticed that, you know, you have email marketing's embedded inside of it. I can add this anywhere I like. I can use Dove. It seems to be something that I can use from the step A through to the final touch point with my customers and clients. Now, with all that being said, what's coming up for Dove? What are some of the things that are in the pipeline that people can get excited about, that they're not already excited about, should I say?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we have Dove 4.0 that we're about to announce, and it's going to be exciting. I mean, Dove 4.0, it entails a couple of things. So number one is that we have desktop recorders now. A lot of people don't know about that. We've been a little bit quiet about it just because we're working out the bugs. And the
mm-hmm.
One of the things that any software company does is they install Crash. They call it Crashlytics. I mean, that's just a specific platform that Google actually has through their Google Cloud platform and Firebase solution. But what it does is that if there's crashes or if there's bugs, it can report those back to our systems so that we can know, hey, on this type of Windows PC with Windows version 10.x on this Acer laptop, there's an issue that happens. You know, let's fix that. So we can go and fix that and put, you know, patches. So anytime that you see updates on, you know, apps or software platforms, a lot of that is based on data. So we're extremely data driven when it comes to compatibility and usability. So the desktop recorders are going to be a big part of this, PC and Mac. Right now, they are available. So if you go to the Dove navigation, you can click on resources, and then you can download those both for free. And those are pretty cool. It's just a application that you install on your computer, and then you can record your screen. So that's the first thing. The second thing is Dove for WordPress. So we've got a WordPress plugin.
Yep.
Yeah, so that opens up a monster ecosystem. The WordPress ecosystem is one of my favorite ecosystems on the internet. I mean, it's not perfect. Yeah, it's not perfect, but I think it's just an amazing way to manage information and to have kind of a larger CMS system, you know, websites or blogs, whatever have you. So this will be a seamless way to add videos from your Dove library onto your WordPress pages, posts, portfolio items.
I think there's one thing I'd like to just touch on, the ability to use Dubb as a storage and video delivery system. And now this is quite important because, you know, this removes the requirement to go to somewhere like AWS or Amazon SES or somewhere elsewhere to host and deliver your videos. Can we talk a little bit about, I guess, how this all works inside of Dubb? You've got your own servers. How does it, who do you use? Is there a partnership between somebody like AWS? What happens?
Yeah, we actually have a great partnership with DigitalOcean, and right. they actually manage our CDN, our content delivery network, and we've been really pleased with them. They have a worldwide edge caching, super advanced, love it. It's called DigitalOcean Spaces, and we've had a lot of success with them. And you know, we started out actually on Amazon.
Yep.
On their CloudFront technology, as a matter of fact, but an S3 in CloudFront, but we migrated to DigitalOcean. It worked for us, and we really like it. And you know, we have servers all over the world now, so it really optimizes the delivery of videos, edge caching, load times, etc.
Yeah, and it seems to me that every single time I do a call, I follow up with a video, I send it out through Dubb. It literally takes 2 minutes for me to click record. It automatically updates. I can add some calls to actions, which are simply buttons for those who don't know, that can take people to testimonial pages. You can even do video testimonials inside the Dubb platform. There's just so much you can do with this wonderful platform. And I'm speaking with the man himself, Ruben Dewar from Dubb. Ruben, it's just been such a wonderful opportunity, a treat for me personally, to spend some time with you on the My Future Business Show today.
Well, I really appreciate it. Great to be here.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.